I'm not showing anybody any passwords, guys. So all is well. Okay, so there's our Kahoot back again. So I think we're just about there. Chachi, you need to, on your screen there, you need to do something on that. Okay, so our thought this evening is, if I start the Kahoot, we've got quite a good response on there. Well done, guys. Just to say right from the beginning, it's not a competition. We've turned the scoring off. Because I know before when we used to have competitions and stuff, it used to be quite overwhelming to certain people. So, and a lot of the questions I'm asking, we've done them with Word Cloud. So we're asking people to put their suggestions. So they'll just pop all of your comments on the screen so we can see what's in the hearts and the minds of people. That's what you're trying to do. We do have some scriptures where the words are missing. So we're going to ask you to just type in the word if you can. It's just a learning process. It's a good thing for us to do that. So I think we should just about be there. Okay, so let's start in a word of prayer, and then we'll start our Kahoot. Father, as we approach these things, you know technology, you know all these things, Lord. It can be a blessing in your hands, and that's what you're wanting this evening, Lord. That, Father, no matter what we do, that you may be glorified, that you may draw near to us, that, Lord, you may speak unto us, Lord, that your purpose may be fulfilled, your will may be done upon this evening. Bless each and every one who's joined. Bless them that are watching. And please help us in this thought, we pray, that as we had come to the end of this evening, Lord, Father, we may have been ministered closer to you, further along the path. Lord, as we think of special prayer meeting tomorrow with Brother Faithful, we think of service on Sunday, and we think of the youth camp coming up. We so much wanted to pray for these things, Lord. We want to be in the spirit of these things because we know that's where the blessing comes. So won't you help us, draw near to us, forgive us for our sins and our trespasses. Let your blood wash us even now, Lord. And Father, just quicken our souls and help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Okay, so God bless people that are joining there. Good stuff. Got a good turnout there. Somebody came back on. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just get started here. We're going to do it through Kahoot. And we'll just talk a little bit in the middle. So it's a call to arms is our thought. So here's our picture that we sent out, a call to arms. Obviously, there's the whole armor of God. That's the thought that we are taking here, is the whole armor of God. So Ephesians 6, verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you. Now, that's highlighted. I put it in bold there because I'm really trying to put this across. Paul is telling as something very individual here. This is not something he's saying to the church as a body, to a local assembly, as a group, but he's saying, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. You know, so that's our thought. We want to, each and every one of us, we want to take on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand. So we can be Christians through thick and thin, that at the end of the road, we're still standing. We're still glorifying the Lord. That's the type of Christian we desire to be. Now, we called it a call to arms. What is a call to arms? There's the call to arms for the First World War. Your country needs you. Now, your king needs you. Jesus needs you. It's a summons for a group of people to fight against a common enemy. So when you're calling people to arms, you're saying, come, take up your arms, put on your armor, let's go to fight. We've got a common enemy. And saints, that is what our call is upon this evening as well. Let's take on this whole armor. We've got a common enemy. We've got a common objective. We want to serve the king. Our country needs us. Our king needs us. So we're being called to arms at this time. Brother Ram says, the thing to do, in my opinion, we've read this many times, is know your enemy and train for the contest that you're going to have when you meet him, because you're going to meet him. We'll get into a little bit upon this evening about spiritual warfare. The devil is real. His demonic forces are real. And if you don't put on the whole armor of God, we're going to come short. We're going to be overcome because this is a contest. This is a battle. You're going to meet him. That's just a bit of an introduction. So I wanted to put on the next one, which is going to ask you the question, like if you're going to youth camp, or it could be if you're going to church or the life as a believer, What is your purpose? What is your purpose? So it's a word cloud. You can type in your answer. It's going to come up. But what are you going to youth camp for? What do you go to church for? What are you a believer for? So type in whatever comes to your mind. Doesn't have to be long. But what would you be going to youth camp for? What would be the first thing that comes to your mind? Or what do you go to church for? What are you a Christian for? It's going to give you 30 seconds to do that. And it'll show us just what people's contributions were when it comes on the screen. Okay, so you've got 5 answers so far. Okay, 8 answers, very good. There you go. So, yeah, don't try to type sentences, just try to be brief. Okay, to be better with God, very good. To worship, that's a wonderful answer. To serve God, yes. To learn about God, excellent. To grow spiritually, friends, family, faith, very good. The 3 F's. To be closer to the Lord, to meet the Lord. So those are all very, very good answers. Now, according to scripture, the primary purpose, the divine purpose of us meeting together is for the equipping of the believer. Whenever we come together, whenever you go to church, whenever you go to a prayer meeting, whenever you read your Bible, God is trying to equip you for the battle. Now, this is the main thing we need to think about as we face up to going to youth camp is our aim and our objective must be in going to this youth camp primarily. Now, there's other secondary things. You want to have fellowship with people. It's good to get away, good to get away from the activities of life. But the main purpose, if we're going to achieve what God wants us to achieve and receive what he wants us to receive at this camp, is the Lord wants to equip us. He wants us to be better equipped as believers when we come from this camp compared to when we went. And that's why Paul is speaking the way that he is. He really wants us to be equipped. What does it mean to be equipped? The definition of equip, to supply with the necessary items for a particular purpose. So every one of us, as Brother Barry was saying, or Brother Paul was saying on Sunday, we've been apprehended by Christ. We've been called by Christ. Those that have responded to Christ, the Lord has called us for a purpose. So the Lord brings us together. He gives us ministry, puts gifts in the body, gives us his word, gives us a message, gives us church, gives us fellowship, gives us special times, for example, youth camps, so that he can equip us for the purpose that he called us for. Now, if we go to the camp and everything else is splendid and we have such a good time, but we come away from there and we're not better equipped to fulfill the purpose that Christ has called us to, then we haven't fully achieved the purpose that Christ wanted us to fulfill. So I think let's really bear that in mind. Let's get our hearts set on that as believers, that what am I going to this camp for? I want the Lord to better equip me. I want to be stronger. I want to have more of the armor of God on me, that I might not be overcome the way that I'm so easily overcome, or that I might be more effective in my calling, or whatever that it is. But that is really, really what the Lord wants us to do when we go to a camp like this. Think of education. When you're speaking of being equipped, education equips you in the natural. There's things that you do at school. You do your times tables. You don't realize when they're teaching you those times tables, your 6 times table, 7 times table, you're going to use those for the rest of your life. You're being equipped for the rest of your life by that education. You might say, how am I ever equipped by the times table? Well, go to Domino's, 7 of you are there, the bill comes, €72, or say 6 of you are there, €72, how much each? Now, you don't have to get out your phone and use a calculator. It's embarrassing in front of people to do simple mathematics on a calculator. Whereas if you know your times tables, hey, 6 times 12 is 72. You know, that's why they teach you these things. And you'll use it all your life. Those kind of principles. What about your spellings? You know, your word building. You spend so much time in school learning how to spell because you're going to need it for the rest of your life. Yeah, now it's good. We have Grammarly and all these things to help with the grammar. We have spell checkers to help with the spelling. But there's going to come times you're going to be embarrassed if you don't know how to spell. You know, so education, you might say, look, it's not that easy. Yes, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's not so much fun, the education. But it's equipping you. It's instilling in you things that you're going to need to use for the rest of your life. Yeah, if you think of it, like I'm saying, grammar, how to speak properly, you know, how to put your sentences together, your tenses and all that. Now, they take a lot of time to teach you these things in school, and you're going to use it every single day when you're talking now. We are using now the what we're equipped with at school. We use it on a daily basis. So if you think in education, how important that it is, how much more in our spiritual education? Now, the Lord wants to equip us. Now, in the failings of education, if you don't allow education to do its purpose in you, when you're going to school, if you're going there just so that you can go and chase girls, or if you're going to school just so that you can, you know, play on your phone when the teacher's not watching, or just to be with your buddies, it's going to catch you down the way. Because when you're not sufficiently equipped from your education, you feel the effects of that for the rest of your life. You're going to find that those peers, those of your friends at school that took it seriously, they surpass you in life now. And their benefits, privileges, finances, when you're going on holiday to Tato Park, they're going on holiday to California. You know? Yeah, when they're driving their Lexus, 2023 Lexus, and you're driving your 2012 Toyota Corolla, it's because you fail to allow education to fully equip you. Now, to really instill in you the things you are going to need to become successful in this life. And when you fail to use the opportunity to be equipped, say, with education, you waste that opportunity, you may never get the opportunity again. You know, if you play around at school, it's very hard to catch that up. It's not an easy thing. You may never be able to catch up. You may feel the effects of not being properly equipped with education for the rest of your life. When others are living in a nice suburb, living in a nice house, you know, and they're doing very, very well, two cars in the driveway and that, and you're struggling. You know, you really are struggling inside of your life for you and your family. Now, sometimes it's not your fault. It might have just been the circumstances of life. But generally speaking, we fail to recognize the importance of education, many of us. And we allow the opportunity to pass us by. And that's okay in the natural. But you don't want to be doing that in the spiritual. Because failing to be equipped properly in the spiritual, it's not something that you want to consider as an option. That's why Paul in Ephesians 6, when he says, put on the whole armor of God, it's not a suggestion. It's a command. It's put on the whole armor of God. It's not something, it's just an option. That if you want to be a believer, if you want to be a Christian, if you want to follow Jesus, putting on the whole armor of God, it's not just an option that you do it if you want to. You're going to have to do it. Otherwise, you are going to be overcome. You know, it's going to catch you, and it's not going to take long to catch you. And you're going to find yourself backslidden. You're going to find yourself overcome. You're going to find yourself lacking power to overcome temptation. So when you go into the camp and God sends us gifted people like Brother Daniel Mazur, and he's sending us Brother Cheslin Downs, or tomorrow when we get ourselves together in the special meeting, Brother Faithful, and God gives us opportunity, God is trying to equip us. God is trying to impart spiritual things inside of our lives, which are vital for us to live overcoming lives, for us to live the lives God has ordained us to live. There's just no shortcuts in this. And we need to be equipped by these things. And you know, and if you do school, I put the picture there. There's so many things you learn at school that you say, but I'm never going to use this all my life. And it's true. I mean, you put some of these algebraic equations, you put some of this stuff you learned in chemistry. Unless you're following that very specific specialized field, you never use so much that you learned at school. But you can't say that about your divine education. In divine, everything he desires to equip you with is absolutely necessary. Every part of this whole armor of God is necessary. God doesn't teach you, God doesn't train you unnecessary things. Now, he knows the importance of the spiritual warfare, the spiritual struggle that we're in as believers. He knows the reality of the spiritual world, of the powers and the principalities, the powers of darkness, the God of this evil age. You know, the Lord knows what is this great host of evil that is against you as an individual, these demonic forces in heavenly places. So when the Lord is dealing with us as believers, he doesn't waste time. He doesn't take us to the youth camp just to waste our time. He doesn't do that. God has a very specific purpose for each and every person that's going to be there. God wants to meet you in a certain way. He wants to help you in a certain way. And yes, let's enjoy ourselves. Let's have a good time with our friends. But let's never, ever get our priorities upside down here. The most important thing is the Lord wants to equip you better as a believer when you go to this youth camp. That's the most important thing. And we need this equipping. Okay, let's see who knows our Bibles on the next one. This is going to be a question now. I want you to type the answer. Fill in the question. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the what of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the what of his might. Type it in. It's a single word. Just so we get familiar. Be strong in the Lord and in the what of his might. Okay, we're about to finish off here. Okay, let's see. Power, strength, love, glory. Yes, good. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Friends, the devil is a powerful force. Demons are powerful forces. Culture, like Brother Barry was telling us the other day, it's a spirit behind it. It's a powerful force. There's so many forces opposing us. The power of temptation, the power of influence, the power of Hollywood, the power of, you know, all these things that try to influence us. We need power to be able to overcome this power that is against us. You know, it's not going to be intellectualism. It's not just going to be our human knowledge. Paul said, in Zechariah, it's not by power, it's not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Not your power, not your ability, but we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's what you want. That armor is to give us power in the battle, spiritual power against spiritual wickedness. Okay, the next one. Okay, showing us you've got it. We don't really want to know about that. Let's type this answer. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the what of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the what of the devil. If you don't know, it's okay. We're still learning. That's why we're doing it. We're not putting points to this. But why do we need to put on this armor of God? Because we need to stand against something of the devil. I know some people are quickly switching into their Bible app now. And they. Okay, some got it almost spelled right. The vials, the wiles, the evils, good. The wiles of the devil. That means the cunning strategies, the battle plans of the devil. So, you know, we need, you'll see it, you'll learn it as a believer. It doesn't take you long when you declare war against the devil by accepting Christ and walking with Christ. It doesn't take long until you start to experience for yourself the wiles, the cunningness of the devil. How he tries to trap you, tries to disappoint you, tries to discourage you, tries to tempt you, seduce you. There's so many things he tries to do. You know, it's the wiles, the strategies, the cunning of the devil. So that's why we need the spiritual armor. We need the Lord to equip us supernaturally because we're fighting a supernatural enemy who's very good at what he does. And you're trying to overcome him by flesh and blood, you're not going to get very far. And all of the people we used to worship with, we know some of the young people that are now made shipwreck, some are caught up by the world, some are caught up by the devil. It's one simple mistake they made. They never took the battle seriously. They never allowed the Lord to equip them fully, to put on the whole armor of God. And because they weren't sufficiently equipped, they got in the battlefield and they couldn't stand in the day of battle. It's not human things we're speaking about, our own ability here. But we're speaking about spiritual principles. Okay, Brother Jesse's on the top there. Well done, Brother Jeff. I like this in the Moffat translation, Ephesians 6, verse 13. It says, it's a different translation. It says, so take God's armor that you may be able to make a stand in the evil day and hold your ground by overcoming all your foes. So when that temptation for pornography comes, you can stand in that day of temptation. You hold your ground, not in your own strength, but you're strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. God has equipped you for that day. When you got all the peer pressure around you at college, at school, and they, you know, your friends are vaping and doing all this sort of stuff, you know, you need to be able to stand, to hold your ground in the evil day. You're not going to be able to do that in your own strength, and you'll soon find it out that our sincerity, and that is good, but it's not sufficient. We need this armor. We need to allow the Lord to equip us for that day. So when the day comes, we can hold our ground and we can overcome these foes. We know many, unfortunately, have made shipwreck of their lives. Many are in the world now, though they know the truth, but they just got fell in, like Paul says, into the snares of the devil. They never took the battle seriously. Now, next is going to be a word cloud. What words come to mind? Put it as single words, not as sentences or paragraphs. We don't need paragraphs here today. You only have 30 seconds. But what do you think it means when you think of genuine Christianity, to be a Christian? What words come to mind? Single words come to mind. Type them in, as many as you want. Word cloud. What words come to mind when you think of genuine Christianity? Okay, sorry, you can only do one. It might be an option for next time. So when you think of what is Christianity, what comes to your mind when you think of Christianity? Some people will say religion, some people, no. The heart of what it is, genuine Christianity. A lot of good ones. To be an overcomer, very good. Humility, yes, you're going to need that. A genuine Christian, yes, to make genuine Christianity. Living like Christ, faith, staying power, experience with God, God-fearing, faithful, faith, love, gentle relationship, purity, courageous, the Holy Ghost, Christ-like, to be like Christ. Very good answers. Now, we're trying to focus all of, I'd say almost every one of those is true and is very good, is an aspect. We're just this evening trying to focus on one part of it. I'm just going to put a quote up here. Brother says, if you will just come to Christ, people will say to you, all your troubles are settled. He says, I tell you, when you come to Christ, that's when they begin. That's when you put on a uniform and take a gun and you enter the battlefield. You see, this is not the word that normally commonly comes to mind when you think of genuine Christianity, that it's a war. It's a spiritual war. It's a battle. It's a struggle. We're waging warfare. For us to possess our inheritance, Christ has purchased it for us, but you're not going to get it easily. You're going to have to fight for every inch of ground like Joshua and them fought. And to do that, to really live genuine Christianity, there's no way without the spiritual armor, without God equipping you. Unless you are strong in the Lord and the power of his might, the world, the conditions of the world, the spirit of the age, it'll soon overtake you. Lukewarmness will take you this way. Temptation will take you that way. You get caught up. So we so much need it. Look how he finishes this quote off. He says, this Christian road is not a flowery bed of ease. It's a battle from the very hour you start until your spirit is set free by death. You are not on a picnic. You are on a battleground. Now, if you bear that in mind, when you go to the camp with this kind of a mindset to say, Lord, I'm going to boot camp, spiritual boot camp. I want to learn. I want to sharpen my sword. I want to make sure my armor is tight. I want to make sure my helmet of salvation is on. Maybe you're not a Christian yet. You're coming. You come and say, Lord, I want the real thing. I want something spiritual to happen to me, to equip me. So that when I leave that camp, I am equipped now to face up to the battle that is surely going to come. Because the moment I leave that camp, I'm back into the battlefield. I'm fighting for Christ. Yeah. So it's not a picnic. You're on a battlefield. And every part of the whole armor of God speaks of a battle. When you look at a sword, God doesn't give you a sword. They don't give you a gun in the army, not intending you to use it. You don't get a sword in the older days and you're sent to the battlefield just to, you know, polish your sword. That sword is going to be needed. Your breastplate, your shield, each part of your armor is needed. And friends, the moment you accept Christ, you enlist in his army. You come under the banner of Christ. You have declared warfare on the powers of darkness. That's what you've done. You have. And these spirits are very real. These powers, these principalities that Paul is speaking, that wage warfare against us, they are very real. They'll try to hold you back, try to discourage you. They'll weigh you down. They'll bring oppressions and depressions. They'll distract you. They'll tempt you. They'll seduce you. Do anything they can to get you off the battlefield, to make you ineffective as a believer, so that you're not there on the front ground, fulfilling your purpose, going forward in the midst of the struggle. That's what they want to do. They want to stop you from doing that. And that's the very, very purpose of the devil. Now, the next one, throw a couple of words out here on this one. Why do so many Christians continually struggle? Or why are so many Christians continually defeated? What would be the single word that you would put on top of the list to think of as a reason why? Why do so many Christians continually struggle? Okay, it'll be interesting. Yes, lukewarmness. We're given to the spirit of lukewarm. We don't have the armor. Exactly. That's the whole point. Hormones. Yes. Well, hormones continue strong, but there's a whole armor that's stronger than hormones. That's the powerful thing. If you're strong in the Lord and don't pray or read, absolutely. Not trusting the Lord. You lose your faith. Temptation, yes. Temptations and big. People have spoken of that a lot. So we can see why we're going to need this armor, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness. We get into it, maybe not this week. Being distant from God, compromising. That's the warfare we're waging. Attack of the devil. Distractions, woman, yes. I mean, if you're a man, woman, if you're a woman, it could be men. Money, woman, popularity. Lack of devotion. So, and if you have a look at these things like lack of devotion or being distant from God or being lukewarm, it's part of warfare. You know, there's influences, there's powers that are against you. There's the wiles, the strategies of the devil, and he studies you and he knows which button to press and he knows how to work and he knows how to tire you out. He knows how to disappoint you by getting someone to gossip about you, whatever. He knows how to bring temptation in your path, bring somebody, you know, at college across your path and tempt you to do things that are wrong. So we don't see these things as being warfare, generally speaking, but Paul, speaking to the Ephesians, he shows us we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Yes, he said, you Ephesians, the religious system is against you. They worship Diana in Ephesians and they persecuted the Christians. You know, the religion was against them. The politics was against them, the Roman system. There was so much against them, but Paul is saying, no, that's not the real enemy. The real enemy is the unseen enemy behind all of these things. There's a power, a spiritual force that is against you. And it's waging what's working against you continually to try to stop you from being an effective believer. And obviously, the big thing which it's trying to do is to try to get you to give in. And I think it's very good, these answers. Why Christians continually struggle or are defeated is, I think, we don't realize what we're getting into from the beginning. And we don't equip ourselves for the battle. You know, that's how we idle away hours doing this and that and the other. We spend so little time allowing the Lord to equip us for the battle, allowing the Lord to work in us and do whatever it is that he needs to do so that we can be victorious. And then we wonder why we are overcome. It's just because we're not putting on this whole armor of God. You know, sometimes because we don't realize that we need it. Sometimes we don't understand what it is. Sometimes you don't understand who the enemy is. That's how the brother says, you need to know your enemy. You need to know your weapons. You need to know that this is a battle that you've been called to. It's a glorious battle. Christ is going to be with you every step of the way. He's going to give you revelation. He's going to give you friends. He's going to give you allies. He's going to give you victories. He's going to bless you exceedingly, but it's going to be a struggle. You're never going to come to victory as a believer easily. You know, you're not just going to lie on your bed playing computer games and spiritual victory is going to come in your life. You're going to have to desire to get in that battlefield and allow the Lord to quicken you to go and take your inheritance, to win the victory so that you can obtain the blessing. It doesn't just take care of itself. We have to fight if we would reign, like this song says. And this explains why so many young people get overcome by weaknesses and temptations, because their heart is not fully set on the things of the Lord. Yeah, yes, we serve the Lord, but also, you know, our most important thing in life is not the Lord. That kind of a life, that lukewarm life, you're always going to be overcome. Now, Satan knows exactly how to push you down every time you seem to be making a little bit of ground. Yet there's many young people who have a heart for God, that know what is right, even the desire to please the Lord, but we're just not going about it the right way. We don't realize the need of this armor. We don't know how to put it on. We don't know how to overcome. And that's why God brings us ministry. That's why God brings us to things like a youth camp, so he can teach us these most important of principles. You know, the principles of spiritual warfare, of how to receive power, how to pray, so he can reveal the power of revelation to us inside of our lives, to equip us so that we can live effective Christian lives. And like I said, that's what our focus should be on entering into this camp. Anything else, if you put as a first priority, you're not entering into this with the right priorities. The first priority has to be, I want to meet the Lord. I want a change inside of my life. I want something to be done inside of my life. You know, listen to what Brother Ram says again here. Okay, what Christianity is not, you know, that's a good thing to think about. Christianity, friends, is not what we think it is many times. It's not laws and commandments, intellectualism. No. Christianity is a battle on the battlefield. Brother Ram says, the reason people now, they get overcome, they don't dig down deep enough to get into the spirit of revelation. They don't pray enough. They don't call upon God enough. You see, like, we don't really realize the struggle, the battle that we're in, that to possess my inheritance, to win victories for Christ, to win souls for Christ, to be effective in prayer and so forth, it means I've got to prevail and I've got to overcome. He says, they just lightly take it. Oh, well, I believe there's a God. Sure. The devil believes the same thing. The devil believes it more than some people claim to believe it, because the devil believes it and trembles. People just believe it and go on. You know, so the devil believes so much in the Lord that it has an effect in his life. But many of us as believers, we believe in the Lord, but it doesn't have very much of an effect inside of our life. We can go days without prayer. We can sometimes just read our Bibles just when we go to church. We can go days without opening the scriptures. Days we never feed our souls, and you expect to overcome in the battlefield. It's never going to work. We need to realize the battle that we're in, this eternal struggle, this great spiritual battle and spiritual warfare. You know, we need to approach this the right way. We need to dig down deep enough. Like he said, we need to give the Lord sufficient opportunity, time and opportunity to equip us, to take us deep enough in spiritual things until we receive a real spiritual armor. And we'll know we have it when we're able to withstand in the evil day. It's not your power, but it's his power. Okay. I just put here a personal challenge. Okay, I'm going to put you just a personal challenge to each and every one of us. As we face up to this camp, now the challenge that I'd put to every one of us, including myself, I challenge every one of you to take the things of God seriously in this season. As we go to tomorrow evening, let's be at the special prayer meeting tomorrow evening with Brother Faithful. Even if you've got to catch a bus, even if you've got to ask somebody else for a lift, even if you've got to poke your mom and dad and say, Mom, please, you normally, Dad, you don't normally go on a Friday, but I want to be in the house of God. Be serious. Start taking it seriously for a season. Approach the camp with a different kind of an approach. Like we've always said, Hannah, she went up every year to the camp. She went every year to the tabernacle, to the feast, and things never changed. But one year she went up determined. She went up saying, this year I want something to change. Let it be this time, determine in your heart to say, I'm not going this time to meet my friends. It's good. I want to meet my friends. But if my friends are going to hold me back from really seeking God, I'm separating from my friends this time because I want to receive something. I want to change inside of my life. I want to meet God this time when I go. I want to be better equipped for this battle that I'm struggling in inside of my life. I want this whole armor that God has promised that Jesus died so that I can have. I want it to be different this time. I want to receive something that's going to last. And if you just determine inside of your heart like that, I absolutely guarantee you, you are going to meet God. Because it's impossible for God not to meet a hungry soul. It's absolutely impossible for God not to meet the soul of somebody that's come with an earnest purpose inside of their heart to meet up with the Lord. Because God is bound by the promises of his word to do so. And if you approach this camp this way, start preparing now, this evening, and tomorrow at the special prayer meeting. Spend time on Saturday seeking the Lord. Come to the house of the Lord on Sunday. Expect him. Say, Lord, continue to quicken me. Let's get into next week. We'll have some two days next week to put ourselves before the Lord to prepare for the camp. Let's join in these things. Let's partake. Many times we have these special consecrations and stuff, special prayer. People don't partake of it. And then they wonder when they go to the camp why other people seem to be changed and they're not. No, it needs to be personal to you. You know, and every person that will approach it the right way, no person who comes hungry will ever go away hungry. No person who comes spiritually thirsty will ever go away spiritually thirsty. And I guarantee you, if you approach this the right way, you will come from that camp and you'll start to see, you'll start to experience victory over weaknesses in your life. You'll start seeing victory over those old enemies that have held you back. The Bible will start becoming a new book. Prayer will start becoming a sweet exercise. Church will be a place you want to go to. It'll become a refuge and an oasis as it is to so many other people. Because now you've gotten the spirit of the things. It's a very, very important thing. Okay, let's put one more thing here, another word cloud. Let's be honest again. What hinders you from a closer walk with Christ? What would be the word that you'd put there? What hinders you from a closer walk with Christ? Good answers are coming in thick. I know that. Like I said, it's all confidential, saints. We're not going to go and dig into this and see who said what. That's not our point on this. It's just to get an overview, and you'll see it's common. What hinders us? Distractions, absolutely. Now, we might see it next time. Distractions are one of the wiles, the strategies of the devil. I mean, he's so effective at it. Satan can wage warfare against and overcome, and you don't even know you're fighting against the devil. Because he's cunning how he does it. He doesn't come, you know, standing before you with his red horns and his tail, but he uses the things that are around you. Distraction, self, absolutely. Worldly things, social media. The devil being so busy, that's like being distracted. Temptations. Can you not see from these answers, friends, how much we need something spiritual to be imparted in us to help us to overcome these things? The internet, which is distractions. Work, absolutely. We all feel that. People, yes. But people can also be the greatest blessing depending on which people that you are fellowshipping with. Nothing, I'm fine. Wow. That is great. Oof, I wish I could have said that. Nothing, I'm fine. Games, yes. Games can be an idol. Anything can become an idol because it becomes your number one priority. And God will never, ever take the throne if you put something else on the throne. Easily besetting sins. Yes, that is why we need this whole armor of God. Absolutely. Now, we won't go too much further here. Brahman says about the need to break through this opposition. There's an opposition against us, friends, a spiritual opposition. When you get up in the morning as a Christian, there's an opposition. Now, when you young people, may the Lord bless you, getting up your Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and you're phoning each other up and you're praying and reading your Bible, there's an opposition that doesn't want you to do that. And Satan will play the greatest battlefield, speak to your mind, tell you I'm too tired, tell you, oh, look, others aren't doing it. Why should I do it? Yeah, and it's so easy that when he's doing something good, that there's an opposition that comes. Now, Brabham says, in those arenas, those worldly places, he's speaking about when you have meetings in worldly buildings, we're grateful for the privilege of being out there, but it seems like you find an oppression, like a demon power, that you have to break through before the revival ever starts. Now, I know there's young people, and many of them aren't with us this evening, joined up, because Satan oppresses them and Satan weighs them down. And they've already made up their minds, we're not going to go to the youth camp. They made up their minds long time ago. And they don't realize that, but they have been overcome in spiritual warfare. They think that thought process leading them to that conclusion was just a natural thought process. But in the spiritual realm, like the prophet, when you'd look inside beyond the veil and see the powers of darkness, see those demons crying out to each other and see darkness over the lives of certain people, seeing the devil persuading people to commit suicide, persuading people, you know, of lies and deception. The spiritual world is very, very real. And that oppression that we feel many times, that heaviness, that sluggishness in prayer, that sluggishness when we struggle to read our Bible, we don't see that. We just put it on the natural, I'm tired. Yes, tiredness contributes, but you will find you in spiritual warfare. And you need to wage warfare against that power, against that principality, against that darkness that is coming against you. You need to break through before you can have a spiritual revival again. So don't expect it will be easy. Between now and the camp, if you're just going to sit at home, not going to pray anything special, not going to get in the word, you're going to have a hard time. And when you get there, you're going to feel oppressed. You're going to feel out of things. You're going to say, this is boring, because you never approached it the right way. You never recognize that you're on a battlefield. It's not a picnic, but you're in a battlefield. And there's a host of powerful demon forces against you and against me. They use sickness, they use tiredness, they take advantage of our hormones, they do those things. Satan is an opportunist. But if you just give in, we're going to be overcome. But something has to rise up inside of us to say, no, Jesus never died for me to live a defeated life. And then now you start to resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You start committing yourself to the Lord. Start being determined to come back into the presence of the Lord. Get determined to be in the right spirit when you go to the camp. Like we said, be a conductor. Don't be a resister. Allow the Holy Ghost to work through you to encourage other people. Don't be a resister that with your murmuring and complaining, oh, I don't want to go. It's my parents making me go. And then you hold other people back as well. No, we don't want to be overcome in this battle. We're fighting for the King. He is worthy. We want to fight for his glory. Now, as we wind things down, the battle is for heavenly places. These powers and principalities, these demon forces, this darkness, these seducing spirits, these spirits that tempt us, these spirits that try to scare us, these spirits that try to oppress us and weigh us down, they're trying to keep us from rising up spiritually into heavenly places, into the place of spiritual reality and spiritual blessing. That's the whole purpose. Remember Daniel, when he was seeking help from the Lord, Daniel chapter 10. And for 21 days, there was spiritual warfare. He couldn't break through. Then Gabriel broke through and said, the prince of the power of Persia, the prince of Persia, that demon power that was over Iran, Persia, withstood. There was a great spiritual warfare in heavenly places until finally the blessing came through to Daniel. You know, so that's a battle for heavenly places. We want to have spiritual reality. We want to have spiritual blessing. But to break through into heavenly places, to really be blessed in the services, to really worship in spirit and truth, like Brother Barry said on Sunday, you're going to have to be determined. You're going to have to be committed to fellowship in that place. You're going to need discipline inside of your life to remain in that place. Because the moment Satan sees you getting into heavenly places, you started to walk in the Spirit, the Lord is starting to speak to you. He's going to use all of his wiles, all of his strategies to pull you down again, to get you caught up in the wrong things, to get you distracted by this, to get you spending so much time in other things that you lose the spiritual quickening that God was putting inside of your life. So it needs a discipline, because there's a continual assault of spiritual powers against us. That's what Paul is teaching us. All these pressures that come, the heaviness, the, like I said, the discouragements, all these kind of things. That is a warfare you engaged in. You need to allow the Lord now to equip you. You need to allow the Lord to speak to you. You need to allow the Lord to encourage you. If Satan's discouraging you, God wants you to come to the camp so he can encourage you. If Satan's oppressing you, the Lord wants to quicken you, wants to deliver you. But you've got to put yourself in the right place so that God can minister you from that. Okay, type the answer for the next one. You shall receive what after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you? You shall receive what after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you? You shall receive what after that the Holy. If you don't know, it's okay. That's what we do. We shall receive what. Well, that little picture I put there might be of some help. I don't put the pictures there just to make it nice and colorful. Okay, all the other ones. Power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Can you see that this whole armor of God, it's a spiritual armor. It's the Holy Ghost. It's God himself becoming real in your life. And when the Holy Ghost, the quickening power of God, the life of God himself, the anointing comes into your life, he brings power now. And that's the only power that will overcome the powers of the devil. That is the power that we need. We don't need power going to the gym. That's good to do that naturally. But to win spiritual warfare, we need power. We need, and that's only received when the Holy Ghost comes upon us. That's why I showed the picture of Samson. When the Holy Ghost would come upon him, he would have power to overcome his enemies. But when he grieved away the Holy Ghost and he tried to use his natural strength, his enemies laughed at him and he became captive to his enemies. So we need this quickening power. That's what we need. Okay, so it doesn't matter. Okay, Brahman says, it is the revelation of God that will give you authority over the devil. So for you to overcome that problem inside of your life, those temptations, those weaknesses, those questions, those doubts, you need the Lord to speak to you. You need to get into a place where God can speak to you, because it's the revelation of God that will give you authority over the devil. There's nothing of such prevailing power as the revelation of the word. So you'll understand why, if you don't really read your Bible prayerfully, seeking God to speak to you, why you continually overcome inside of your life, why you can't have the victory, because you need revelation. That's the only thing. There's nothing like revelation to give you prevailing power. So you can be consistent, you can prevail, you can overcome. That's what gives us the power. That's why we need to come to the house of the Lord. That's why we need to go to camps and things, to allow the Lord to speak to us, to deliver us, to take the oppression off us, the darkness off us, and then to reveal himself and let the Holy Ghost quicken you inside of your life. Then you respond to what the Lord is doing, and he starts putting power into your life that you never had before. That's what he wants inside of our lives. Now, to finish off, I'm going to just show a few things of why we need this in our age more than ever before. Please type the answer in this one. This is a scripture. This know also that in the last days, something time shall come. I put the meaning fierce, savage, hard to bear. This is what Paul says in 2 Timothy. In the last days, something time shall come. How does he speak of the conditions of our day? In the last days, what times will come? That's the days we're living in. It's okay. It's a Bible study. If you don't know it, it's to help us to learn our Bibles. No problem. Let's see what people put here. Dark, yeah, perilous. Some just didn't spell it right, but perilous times shall come in the last days. That word perilous, I put at the top, there means fierce times will come. Savage times, hard to bear. So the conditions of Laodicea, the condition, Hollywood and all these things and all the peer pressure, all the evil, all the darkness in this age, Paul is telling us in those last days, it's not going to be easy to live a victorious life. Can you see why we need the whole armor more than ever in this age? Why we need to be spiritually equipped? Because perilous times shall come in the last days, Paul said. What about in the religious realm? Type in the answer. Oh, Paul says, men shall be, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of what more than lovers of God? In the last days. Lovers of what more than lovers of God? If you don't know, I put a picture there. Now, Paul didn't say lovers of video games. He didn't know about video games at that time, but it's speaking of something to do with that. Lovers of himself, money, Mario. Good, very good. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. People will love entertainment more than they love God because they're not getting in the spirit. They don't know the blessings of revelation. They don't know the blessings of heavenly places. They don't know how wonderful it is to be quickened by the Holy Ghost. They don't know how wonderful and stimulating revelation is, the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, so they live a lukewarm life. They come to church, but they're not victorious. So they love, spend most of their time, the most exciting thing to them in life is pleasures. And then you wonder why when the evil day comes, they don't have power to overcome in the evil day. When the temptation comes and Satan comes with that blast of the devil, they don't have power to overcome because they're not approaching this the right way. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That is the spirit of this day we're living in. Very, very much. Paul says that. We could go further, but we need to finish off. Okay, in the religious realm now, Paul says, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, the rapture, the coming of Christ, shall not come except there come a falling away first. And the man of sin be revealed. That is the apostasy. Paul is saying in the last days, so many people are going to fall away from the faith, that original faith, because of the love of pleasure and because of all the deception in this day. He said there's going to come a great falling away. Now, friend, are you part of that falling away? Because without the whole armor of God, you'll become part of the falling away. You can't stand in your own strength. You can't stand in your own ability. You can't stand just being lukewarm in this age. You will fall away. Your sins will find you. It will catch you down the way somewhere. You might crank on for a few years. We have examples of it. Young people who cranked along for a few years, but they never took it seriously. Where are they now? Some caught in atheism, some caught in unbelief, some caught in vaping, some caught in members of gangs, caught with knives and all these kind of. It's sad to see. They had a chance. The Lord drew near to them, but they never took it seriously. They never realized it's a battle that we're in. It's spiritual warfare. They never allowed the Lord to equip them for the battle. And when the evil day came, they fell away. Now, you don't want to be a person like that. I don't believe anybody who's joined this evening wants to be one of them. Okay, coming to a very close now. What does it say in Revelation 13? All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. That's the beast whose name's not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. We're living right in the shadows of the arising of the beast, the revealing of the beast himself. We're living right in the time when the mark of the beast will be forced upon people. This ultimate spirit of deception in this day that the whole world, all that dwell upon the world, earth are going to be overcome in this battle, except for those whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then we think we can just play around, never read our Bibles, never pray. We don't even go to youth camp. And we think we're going to overcome in a day like this. Saints, it's never, ever going to happen. We've got to be soldiers. We've got to be determined. Type the answer. Daniel 1 verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not something himself with the portion of the king's meat. When the king of Babylon offered him the pork and all those kind of things against his religion and to drink the wine of their gods, he said, I'm not going to something myself with the portion of the king's meat. And this is the attitude we need to have. We need to be like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego in Babylon, because we're living in Babylon in our day again. Let's see what people say. They would not dunk, associate, partake, feed. Good guesses. Would not defile himself, would not make good stuff, would not make himself spiritually unclean, naturally unclean. He wouldn't play those games that defile you when you're playing your video games. The games with the violence and the games with the bad words and the games when you're stealing and running away from the police. You're defiling yourself when you play those kind of games. What about our young girls? Defiling yourself by putting on the worldly fashions, yeah? Showing your belly button, defiling yourself, piercing your ears, and you know, putting paint on your face and all that. No, you don't want to defile yourself in this age. We need to be like Daniel in our age. To purpose in ourselves, to say, no, Lord, by your grace, as you strengthen me, as you equip me, I'm not going to defile myself in this Babylon. I'm not going to take these things of Babylon and allow them to defile me. That's why the last scripture, I liked it again. This is that same scripture, Ephesians 6, verse 13, Weymouth, another translation. Put on the complete armor of God so that you may be able to stand your ground on that day of battle, and having fought to the end, to remain victors on the field. I like that. I said, that's what you want. And that's what youth camps are for. That's what youth ministry is for. That's what Sunday school is for. That's what church is for. That's what family altar should be for. That's what your own time in the Bible and in prayer should be for the Lord to equip you so that you might be able to stand your ground on the day of battle. So when the temptations come, your friends are falling away, there's pressure at your school, pressure in your neighborhood, pressure from the children around and about you. In that day of battle, you stand your ground. And at the end of the battle, having fought to the end, you remained victors on the field. You're still victorious, not in your own might, but be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And how? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in that evil day. And having done all, to stand. So saints, that's why I wanted to do this, just to start off today. We look at the whole armor of God. Next time, we look a little bit into the whole armor of God. And how do we get this whole armor of God? But just to try, by the grace of God, to put a mindset inside of us, to know what it is we're approaching, what this life is really about, why God calls us together as believers, why we have church, why he gathers us together in youth camps and things like this, so that as we approach these things, we might approach them the right kind of a way. May the Lord help us to do that. Let's just pray before we finish. Oh, Father, we do need you, Father, every step of the way. We do acknowledge you upon this evening, Father. Lord, we've tried to do it in our own might, our own strength before, and how much we fail. But Lord, when we just yield to you, when we wait upon you, when we follow you, when we fellowship with you, when you, Lord, come and quicken us again and anoint us. Father, we know that there's nothing can overcome you. Father, we know the power of revelation when you speak to us, when you reveal things to us, how it quickens us, how it raises up into heavenly places, how we love that, Lord. Father, when we're singing and worshiping you in church, in spirit and in truth, what a blessed thing that it is. Father, when the items, Lord, are such a blessing and the atmosphere is so wonderful, we just want to stay there in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But Lord, you know, it's a battle and Satan will do everything that he can to keep us from that place or to take us from that place. So we want to pray for tomorrow, that as we gather in your house, as Brother Faithful would take the word, we want to pray for a special time, Lord, that you'll meet us there. We want to pray that you'll stir up our young people to be there. And Lord, every brother and every sister to be there, that you may partake, Lord, of what it is that you have for us tomorrow. And as you prepare ourselves for the camp, we want to pray for this camp. We want to look unto thee that you'd overshadow the minister, that, Lord, you'd prepare our hearts, that it may be a different camp for us. That as we'd come from there, we wouldn't be the same. But, Father, that you'd be glorified, we pray. So bless each young person upon this evening. Bless us as we finish, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Saints, any questions, any final comments before we finish off there this evening? God bless each and every one for joining in. Really glad that you joined in this evening. Anybody before we finish off? Otherwise, we'll leave it at that and convene again tomorrow in his house. Anybody before we finish off? Okay, saints, God bless you richly. Have a wonderful evening. Please do keep the meeting tomorrow in prayer. The meeting tomorrow is for everybody. It's focused mainly at youth. But as we know, it's so wonderful for parents to be there as well to create an atmosphere. You know, when we get there, we create an atmosphere. We worship the Lord. It makes it so much more effective, the ministry of the word, to speak to the souls of our young people. And our young people, we really encourage you to come. If you need transport, let us know. We can try to help people to give transport and so forth. And may the Lord meet us, and may the Lord bless you, Brother Faithful, as you prepare for the service as well. And let's keep on praying for the camp, saints, and may the Lord richly bless you and your family until we meet again. God bless and good night.